Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
What happened to some of the brightest minds in the United States working at the top of their fields? Several have been found dead. Others have vanished without a trace. Are they being targeted by a foreign adversary, their own government, or something out of this world? This week's episode is Missing and Dead Scientists, Part 1.
In the night, your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed. You'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinister Who?
Oh, that really Fuck didn't yeah. go as smoothly as I thought it no, was going to go.
With editing, it was a crisp start.
I'm afraid of breaking a nail.
No, you can't, but you got to crack into a cold
I
one.
Had to.
Cold oh, can man. Of Coke for this one, my friend.
A wild ride that is current, topical, happening as we speak.
Yeah.
No Heads one up. Knows what's going on.
Not at all. Heads up. It's going to feel like drinking from a fire hose because it is yes. just like, here's a person you meet. Here's what they do. And this is why they're gone. Here's another person. Here's what they do. And also now they're gone. So prepare
And
yourself.
Also what they do is confusing. Yes. And we are not
tried to figure it out.
Scientists and don't work at NASA yet.
Yes.
So it's, you know, some of this stuff I'm just like, you can tell me all day long what your job description is. It's kind of like Chandler from Friends. Like nobody really understands.
Transponsting.
What he does.
He's transpondering. All of these people are transponsters. Mm-hmm. So we'll find out what transponsting means today. But it is quite a journey through. As not to sound like I just fell off the turnip truck, but goddamn, there's just a lot of shit going on we don't know nothing about. And not to say nefarious, just like somebody's job is to invent a tiny thing that saves the government $1 billion a mm-hmm. year or something. Mm-hmm. And they're just like, I don't know, man, I just changed this from this. And that I'm not trying to simplify in their science. I'm just saying it's like so minute that we can't even conceptualize how important a tiny little thing is. And several of these people, if they were not tiny little thing tweakers, they were the ones that were paying, you know, overseeing their budgets and signing off on it. So it's just wild, man, what folks are doing.
Yeah. And it spans such a long time. And it's one of those things that in the beginning, it might not have looked sus or like even connected. But now everyone's putting pieces together of like the past several years and how all these people are connected, what they were working on, who they were working for and with, and the timing surrounding what's going on in the world and their disappearances or murders.
All connected. No, certainly it does seem that way. It makes me think of the early days of the Zizian case where you had one murder in California and then 6 months later you have a weird shooting in North Carolina and then 6 months after that this thing in, you know, Canada or whatever. And then it takes zooming out and being like, oh shit, no, they knew each other and this mm-hmm. is how they knew each other and stuff. I'm not saying like a cult or something is doing this, just insofar as like you're seeing on their own, these are all noteworthy instances. You know, it's noteworthy when a scientist dies by suicide. It's noteworthy when a scientist goes completely vanishes, but nobody was really connecting them until I think particularly if you have not listened to our mini-sode on Patreon of General McCaslin, we will talk about him in part two as well. But when that first happened, we did a mini-sode on that on Patreon. And it was, I think that one's kind of the one that helped unlock and go like, hang on a minute.
Mm-hmm.
These are all.
Because it was such a weird, I mean, who goes just hiking and anyone that goes hiking and never comes back. We all yes. have questions.
And no trace, like despite mm-hmm. extensive, you know, no bones, no blood, you know, like, oh man, the coyotes got him. No shoe got left behind or whatever.
No.
With two of these folks, it is as if they zapped out.
The things that are left behind are their personal effects at their house.
Intentionally left.
Which is always a red flag, in my opinion, that
various ways.
They either didn't go willingly or went willingly with specific intentions
with an idea. But yeah, we'll get we'll get into all of them. But we thank y'all for and it's so funny to be like, and we're finished with the Pizzagate stuff. God damn it, if John Podesta's emails aren't in this. So it's like, it's again, it's all connected.
It really, it's all I do every day is think of the Pepe Silva meme,
dude,
with
really-
Charlie and all the strings. I'm like, but this is real though.
But for
like,
real
it's
though.
True.
I mean, yeah, and like, you know, no spoilers, but probably also there's an Epstein Files connection. You know what I mean? Just always is.
Sure.
Like, because it is powerful people trying to get quite literal power. And by that I mean like nuclear fusion and stuff. So anyways, it's what a journey that we're all going through. And you know what? Another journey you could go with us on.
That's a good
crime
one.
Wave at Sea. That's the best
segue so far.
Nailed it. Finally, come see what we saw on the ocean at Crime Wave at Sea. There's so many people to interact with, not just your fellow true crime fans, but also amazing creators and randos on the ship who have nothing to do with the festival, which is so much fun to have a person stop you at the elevator and go, so what's going on? And you tell them, they're like, oh, they didn't tell us that when we booked. And I'm like, yeah, sorry about you.
Why was everybody yelling Hail Satan last night at like midnight? And we're like,
Don't worry about it.
You heard Hail Satan. I didn't hear anything.
Do you ever heard of Henry Zebrowski and Ed Larson? Because they're kind of they're like our fearless leaders that were like, yeah, we'll follow you. What do you want to do? If they were like, we're taking over the bridge, we would have been like, we're taking over the bridge. So go to crimewaveatsea.com/sinister and go with us on Crime Wave at Sea February 8th through 12th next year. And
please
we'll sail away from all this and probably make contact, because Representative Tim Burchett from Tennessee says that there's bases in the Atlantic Ocean.
And everyone's saying disclosure 2026, contact 2027.
This is how we're about to get contacted.
Oh, man. Don't think I haven't been thinking how E.T. was not just a family flick. The way they were soft launching that these testing and of creatures from other planets are happening. I told you the other day when we were watching something, I was like, I feel so bad for these aliens. It's just like E.T. Somewhere there is a base and they're all poking and prodding at these sweet little things. And just the mere thought of it makes me want to burst into tears. So when it's confirmed, you'll hear about me on the evening news.
We're going to storm.
For one reason or another.
We're going to storm the facility to free them. I know I was going to say something, but since you said it might make you burst into tears, I won't. I was going to say probably they're also jacking them off to take their semen and whatever it is that they come out with and try to you know.
I don't
like,
think E.T. has that.
Whatever it is, they're trying to artificially inseminate. I think they're trying to crossbreed us.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Anyway.
Or
strong start. Strong
breed
start.
The aliens.
Yeah.
Crossbreed aliens, or just breed aliens with their own species to have more of them.
Or better versions of them. We have a sick obsession. People in power have a sick obsession being like, I'm going to make the perfect whatever. Why would you think if they treat dogs and racehorses and children that way, that if they were presented with a biological being from somewhere else, that they wouldn't be like, how about we make the tallest two of them fuck each other till they have a bunch of tall babies. And if the babies are short, we'll throw them in the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, joke's on you. That's where they're from. And now they're going to create a base and come back and kill us because they're the ones you kicked off the thing, like fucking the 300 or whatever when they kicked him off the side.
Yeah. I hope they do. I hope they don't destroy us all, but I'm confident that they're benevolent and that they can. My theory is they will be able to just look at us and tell if we're a good person. They just scan from head to toe and they know in your heart if it's good or evil. And if it's evil, you evaporate. They don't, that you're gone.
I agree with that capability, and I also think that it is a Ghostbusters 1 situation where it's like, choose your form. So if for whatever reason you're like, it's going to decide if I'm good or bad, and you look and it's like, ho, 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 hi, I'm an alien. And you're like, why do you look like a Santa from a mall? And you're like, your brain chose me. You've been very good, Christine. And you're like, okay, thanks, I guess. We're going to let you come on the ship. I mean the sleigh.
And I'm like, as Santa?
No, I will change forms. It's going to freak you out. But I had to ease you in first.
Okay.
No, it's going to be a good time. Come on, Crime Wave and see with us, and you're going to get probed by Santa.
Oh, great. For sure. Yeah. Somebody will probe you. If not Santa.
If you're lucky.
Somebody with an upside down pineapple magnetized to their cabin door will.
Hell yeah, baby. Well, man, what a tale we're going to take you through today.
Oh, yes. Well, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get into it. In 1947, something strange happened in Roswell, New Mexico. A craft crashed, and authorities insisted it was a weather balloon. A shroud of secrecy followed as the wreckage was transported to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Ohio. After this initial connection, the base became the center of UFO mythology for the next 80 years. Project Sign, then Project Grudge, and finally the infamous UFO investigation program Project Blue Book were all headquartered on base.
And this is like the classic, you know, the fire department shows up and then all of a sudden the feds show up and are like, get away, pardon us, we're going to take this. And then mm-hmm. the shit's just gone and everyone locally has been gaslit about what really happened.
Was it Sunday Scaries or a recent episode or Freaky Friday? Something. I don't know. We've recorded a lot lately, but we talked about the woman giving the firsthand interview about when she was a child. Oh, we didn't even talk about that on air?
We privately watched it in the yard.
For some reason, I thought we shared this, but...
Well, we might have talked about it, but sorry, watching it wise, yeah.
Yeah, and her father was part of the fire department outside of Roswell that got called in to... Because they thought at first it was a downed weather balloon, and he came home and was like, gather the family, I must tell you what happened, and described coming upon a craft that was not anything from this world, not made of anything from this world. Two of the beings had passed away in the craft, and a third one was walking around, clearly upset and sad, and that the human could feel like the sadness radiating from him, and he just really felt sorry for him. And I'm like, just like E.T.?
Yeah.
You mean that's exactly what we're describing here?
No, you're right, though. And her dad's coming home going, listen, everybody, this is real. Like, this mm-hmm. is something from out of this world. And it's me and you were talking about, we might have been on our Getting Into It to Your live stream on our Total Request Live.
Oh,
maybe that's
okay,
what
we're
talking
about.
But anyways, we were kind of talking about, like, because we did that in the backyard. But we were kind of talking about, like, if you were in that position and you were burdened with this knowledge that you know what you saw and it was real, and you go home to your children and you're like, I need to tell you something. Like, the world is a little bit different than what you thought. You too, honey. Listen up. Like, everyone listen. So, I mean, I believed her. That's like a present sense impression. You just mm-hmm. drive straight home and, like, word dump on your family. So it became this, well, the government's looking into it and we're doing this research. And the thing about Wright-Patterson is they very much partnered with the private sector, Lockheed Martin, Raytheon, because Air Force, Department of Defense, all the budget, they're already working with these people. And they realize that there's consistency more in a corporate situation than in an elected official situation. So you have career bureaucrats and career corporate bureaucrats, like government and corporate bureaucrats, like all working together. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes elected people sometimes are told, but because you're a representative, you might lose your job in 2 years. We're not going to tell you everything. You're mm-hmm. a president. You're only here for four, maybe 8 years. We're not going to tell you anything. So this early days, Wright-Patterson, and then like this private sector agreement, I feel like is where all of our stuff started getting stored.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In 1998, a young materials engineer named Monica Jacinto Reza began her career at Rocketdyne, a division of Rockwell International, working in rocket propulsion. She and Australian metallurgist Dallas Hardwick co-invented a new material called Mondaloy at Rocketdyne. Mondaloy is a nickel-based superalloy later used in key components of advanced propulsion systems. Their discovery solved a critical problem. Until then, the U.S. had been dependent on Russian-made RD-180 engines to lift classified satellites into orbit.
So from what I can tell is you needed a really, really strong metal that's not super heavy so it can fly, but it has to not catch on fire. And the only people that made that was Russia until Monica and Dallas were like, we figured it out, by the way. And so then the United States says, thank you very much, Russia. We've been in a Cold War for you, so it's really bad that we've had to buy. You know, every time we buy this from you that we're fixing to go build these things that you know it's used for. So for secrecy, we're good. We don't need you anymore. I bet Russia doesn't love you a ton after that, you know, maybe.
Yeah. The whole thing of buying it from them, like you said, is so weird because you're kind of showing your hand. I guess you're allies, but is anybody really an ally anymore? Everybody's just out for themselves these days.
100%, yeah. Money. They're all out for money.
Mm-hmm. By 1999, Reza began collaborating with the Air Force Research Laboratory, or AFRL, at Wright-Patterson as part of a cost-sharing program to scale up Mondaloy production. The AFRL began funding her work into the early 2000s. At that time, NASA funded additional research into Mondaloy for potential use in large oxygen-rich booster engines. General William Neil McCaslin, then rising through Air Force ranks, oversaw the AFRL program funding RAISA and Hardwick's research. Congress later confirmed in writing that RAISA and McCaslin worked together directly on advanced materials for reusable space vehicles and weapons.
My hypothesis is also, yes, it's helpful for satellites and whatnot and, you know, space exploration. But if you were trying to travel somewhere either super deep space, super far away, or somehow faster than the speed of light using some kind of anti-gravity tech, you have to have a material that would be strong enough to withstand that. And perhaps Mondaloy is a material that would be strong enough to withstand it. So not only does it get used in legitimate both defense and also research stuff that NASA's using it for satellites, we're using it for defense satellites, but also, you know, you could use tinfoil for a lot of things, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a secret third thing. Like, it also blocks it's good for your leftovers, and it also blocks your cell phone signal. So that's what I think is that
They discovered it was good. It was a multi-purpose metal. Still, for some reason, I think it's because of that same interview, that woman went on to say that her dad's coworker later revealed he had taken something from the crash. Mm-hmm. And the father said he pulled it out of his pocket. It was like, you know, like when oil moves through water. And so it's like formed, but it's like a solid, and it's not a, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know science.
No, but oil and water. I like that analogy. Okay.
Well, like, but he said it was like water, but it stayed together. Like if you were to drop oil into water, how all the oil would like come together and then be like little droplets. It was like that, but not water. It was just a material.
Physically. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which vaguely sounds like plasma. Which also would be something that you would need, in my opinion, to my very feeble understanding of physics, is that you would need something like plasma to help propel you. You'd also need the anti-gravity propulsion technology. You would need control of plasma, and you would need this metal. So let's put these things in our bags as we decide to try to travel through time. Mm-hmm. Like, I think you're right that whatever that material is, and if it's from Roswell, like they used it, right, to cut through and however they got there. And you fucking landing in New Mexico. I'm sorry. No shade to the whole state. But you're like, where the fuck are we? Like,
of all places. We're out in the middle of where there's nowhere.
And or you said,
they just happened to, I don't know.
Are these nuclear facilities?
Were they shot down? It's hard to know.
We got to do a Roswell episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've never been.
Let's drive. Let's go, baby.
Let's go. I don't know how
gas
long to drive.
Gas is cheap right now.
Yeah, gas is cheaper.
It's safe to travel between states. You know,
surely it's safe to go poking around into aliens.
Yeah,
stuff.
If you drive right up to a government base, two loudmouth women with a platform questioning the government, they will welcome us with open arms.
I think so. I think they open the mountain door, the secret mountain door, and let us drive right into the middle of the earth.
We'll take Tom DeLonge with us.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, and you can sing on the way. I'll be like, you got to play all the hits, though, on our 8-hour drive there.
I'm going to find an alien. He is, though.
And no, you can't have the front seat, Tom DeLonge, because I get really motion sick, and everyone knows that, so you're going to have to sit in the back. But
plus his
guitar. You'll have room for your guitar. Yeah,
he's going to have it the whole time. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back. Here's something I didn't know until recently. 1 in 3 Americans think they're sensitive to gluten, but only 1% actually have celiac disease. For everyone else, it might be something else in those same foods called FODMAPs, and going gluten-free doesn't always help.
FODZYME is a tasteless powder you sprinkle right onto your food. It helps break down FODMAPs, the hard-to-digest components in food that can cause bloating, gas, and pain before they cause discomfort. Think of it like Lactaid, but for garlic, onions, wheat, beans, and other common FODMAP foods. It mixes in fast, comes in portable packets, and makes digestion easier so you can eat more of what you love.
And here's what really sets FODZYME apart. Every customer gets access to a free product consultation with a registered dietitian. Not a chatbot, not an FAQ page, an actual dietitian who can walk you through your specific trigger foods and build a plan that works for you. FODZYME was created by Harvard-trained scientists, clinically studied, and founded by an IBS sufferer who was tired of feeling uncomfortable after every meal.
We're so excited to partner with Fodzyme and offer you 30% off your first order when you go to icaneatagain.com/creepy. That's icaneatagain.com/creepy for 30% off your first order. Finally, you can enjoy your favorite foods without the pain. Just go to icaneatagain.com/creepy. A breakthrough in 2010 led to a patent being filed for Mondeloy. In May 2011, McCaslin took command of the entire research lab at Wright-Patterson. He managed a $2.2 billion science and technology program, plus an additional $2.2 billion in customer-funded R&D. Raisa and Hardwick's materials research program reported through McCaslin's authority. The Mondeloy cost-sharing contracts with Rocketdyne were approved by McCaslin.
So you're just getting to see all the inventions. And the thing about the fact that there's a patent for Mondeloy that's like a public patent is crazy, because there's a special law in the United States of America that's like, I can't remember the exact name, but it's like the patent secret, the Invention Secrecy Act or something like that, where when you have a you have a patentable thing, you go like, hey, I invented this thing. It's totally real, but it can't be filed publicly for a patent because national security risks or whatever. So there's a ton of secret patents out there, including probably a ton of stuff that McCaslin oversaw.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of billions of dollars.
That's with great power comes great responsibility and great knowledge that can often be dangerous.
Mm-hmm. People might want to hold you down and get it out of you.
Mm-hmm. Or eliminate you so you don't give that information to others or just even know it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
2 years later in 2013, General McCaslin retired from the Air Force. His direct command of AFRL and its funded programs ended at the time. The next year, in 2014, Dallas Hardwick, Raisa's co-inventor and the other half of the Mondeloy duo, died of stage 4 breast cancer. With Hardwick gone, Raisa became the sole surviving co-inventor of Mondeloy. After his retirement, McCaslin moved into the private sector. He became a primary source and advisor for Tom DeLonge's To the Stars Academy, a UFO research venture co-founded by the Blink-182 guitarist. To the Stars previously claimed to have obtained
exotic material samples from UFOs.
McCaslin's involvement cemented the general's reputation in UAP circles.
Yeah, because kind of before that, I think he was less cooperative with outsiders. Tom DeLonge explains in the prologue of his book, first novel, about how he was kind of already in this arena, and he was invited to a defense contractor company to introduce a speaker. And he said that when he was taught, and it was like this head honcho of this place he called the big boss. And he said, when he introduced himself to that speaker, he said, you know, before I go take you, you know, go on stage and introduce you afterwards, can I talk to you for 5 minutes? And he said, yes. And so they kind of connected on the UAP matter. And then in his book, DeLonge says, I spoke to another man. I'm just going to call him the general. And I was like, I think I might know who you're talking about.
Yes. Not a great secret name for him, but you know, I mean, there's a lot of generals. His interview on Steve-O's podcast is really, really good mm-hmm. too. And he's very informed and knows a ton about UAPs, UFOs, that whole world, and not in a corny way, in a respected way, which I think, you know, and at least I remember when I first like heard about that, I'm like, the guy from Blink-182 made a UFO program. But now I'm like, we all have interests, you mm-hmm. know, just because he happened to also be a musician, like he really knows his shit about this and has been led into some really high profile circles.
And I think that's kind of what he realized was like, this is a passion since I was a kid. I have attention, I have money, and mm-hmm. I'm going to direct those things toward the highest quality people available that will talk to me. And that's essentially what he does. So some people criticize him and are like, oh, some of the people he talked to, like, I feel like maybe they're still connected to the government, so they're feeding him information. Other people though, like McCaslin, he was retired. He was doing private consulting work as well, but I think you would have no reason to lie to Tom DeLonge if you're no longer, you know, on the government side, you know, once you're out, I would think, you know, might as well just like tell him what you know. It's kind of a legacy thing.
Probably feels freeing to get that off your chest.
Especially a person that believes you.
Yeah. Yeah. McCaslin's wife later confirmed in a Facebook post that he worked as
an unpaid consultant on military and technical slash scientific matters to lend verisimilitude to Tom's fiction book and media activities.
She said the association was brief, beginning shortly after his Air Force retirement. DeLong's book was called Secret Machines, about a global UFO cover-up being used to develop next-generation aircraft.
Shout out to Dallas Public Library who had this, and I have rented the audiobook and just barely started, so I'll try to binge it before our next episode. But I'm interested in it because he said he wanted to write a nonfiction book at first and was kind of told, you can't really do that. So then when he was like, can I fictionalize it? And they said that they can't stop you. You know, First Amendment, right? You can't stop somebody from creating a fake fiction book that just so happens to be anchored. So he's like, the bricks are nonfiction, but the mortar putting it all together is a novelization story. But it's sort of his way to try to get out, I think, everything he has gathered in his To the Stars work. And it's, I think there's two, maybe three books so far. So we'll see how many we can get through.
The general's name became more well-known in 2016 with the hack of John Podesta's emails. Emails released by WikiLeaks during the 2016 election showed a meeting with participants Tom DeLong, defense contractor Rob Weiss, and retired McCaslin. That email dump is what first put McCaslin's name in public circulation as a UFO-adjacent figure.
And I think when Tom DeLong's name was also connected to John Podesta and Tom's like emailing him going, oh, this guy's the real deal. Like General McCaslin, you probably know him because you're in the government too. Because Podesta worked for, I guess, Obama. Wait, yeah. So anyway, so there's these, you know, it's like we've seen with the Epstein files. There's these circles of people that, you know, this guy, may I introduce you to so-and-so, mm-hmm. these email hands off. So when those emails got released, everybody was working on Pizzagate and stuff. But UAP people were like, Tom DeLong's meeting with this guy. Like, hang on a minute.
Yeah.
And this guy knows a lot, has to have known a lot.
Meanwhile, different but connected inventions were happening at labs in California. In 1997, Carl Grillmeyer began at a Caltech research center affiliated with NASA's Jet Propulsion Lab, known as JPL. Grillmeyer spent nearly three decades studying galactic structure, dark matter, and exoplanets. He was a key contributor to NEOWISE, the NEO Surveyor, and the Spitzer Space Telescope. These programs detect asteroids and comets, as well as satellites and hypersonic missiles.
What a job, dude. You're looking as far out as we can look.
Dude, the way this makes all sense, but I never, like, considered these jobs. And now I'm like, holy shit. There's just all sorts of jobs. And people's whole jobs are just stare up at the sky, see what's up there, make sure nothing's coming this way.
I want to grab every Doge idiot by the jacket and go, you fucking idiot. They're the ones that are looking for where we can go next. Or maybe who's coming at us? Galactic structure, dark. We know nothing about dark matter, like how it works. Also, having these NEOWISE programs, yes, are they cool? We all want them because it's dope to see like faraway planets, but it's also important in case, oh, I don't know, a fucking asteroid or comet is coming at us and we got to do a, you know, Armageddon situation, send Ben Affleck up there to blow it up. Can't send, man, RIP, Mr. John McClane, Bruce Willis is not doing so well. His family just released. So maybe we can send an AI version of Bruce Willis because his family, they did sign his name up for that to continue on. And Ben Affleck, really? Stop these asteroids and comets. But that's what they're, it's a vital thing that he's doing. So to cut, you just feel like, oh, it's just, you're looking at space. No, man, we're trying not to get smashed by an asteroid or hit by a hypersonic missile from an adversary.
That's crazy. Yeah. And I believe it was also the bonus content live stream where I mentioned that there is a conspiracy theory circulating that the most recent Artemis mission was to deflect some sort of asteroid or something that was headed towards Earth. I have not looked into it much. I never thought that's why they were going up there, but also could be. Anything's possible.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that if that was happening. I don't think they want to announce it. Like, listen, some shit's headed straight for us. Nobody freak out. So,
yeah.
But if somebody was going to save it for us, I feel like the Artemis crew, they're like the heroes we deserve.
They seem like, pretty chill once they landed. So I'm hoping if that was their mission, that it was successful. A year after Grillmeyer began at Caltech, Michael David Hicks joined JPL as a research scientist. He spent 24 years there, publishing over 80 scientific papers on comets and asteroids, contributing to the DART Impact Mission and Deep Space One. Then in 2001, Frank Maywall joined JPL as a principal research scientist. He spent 25 years there, working on high-frequency electronics, remote sensing instruments, and mass spectrometry tools with dual civilian and defense applications.
So much like Grill Mare, these dudes are working on faraway stuff that's approaching us, you know, comets, asteroids, deep space, remote sensing, high frequency sensing, trying to sense what's out there. So that's what we also probably need to do an episode on JPL, because there's some woo woo connections with dark magic as well. Not that these fellows had anything to do with that, but just so far as like all of them are trying to see if it's coming right for us and if what it is.
Dark magic, dark matter.
Ooh,
that's first of all. I'm not going to write the book because I don't know enough about it, but somebody should.
Copyright.
It is crazy, though, to we understand that, like, our military, for example, is – I'm not going to get into it about the military. I'm just going to say we all understand that what they are there to do is to protect our country.
Mm-hmm. Supposedly, yeah.
Supposedly. On the ground. Mm-hmm. But up in space, mm-hmm. like, they don't do that part of it.
Only Space Force does that.
Space Force has to do that. And then if we cut all the funding to Space Force, then, you know, how do we know what's coming at us from up there?
That's a great question. I think there's a lot of arguments between the people that control the budget at the DOD and the people that control the budget at NASA, insofar as saying, like, we need to develop this thing because it'll help us see what's out there, versus we need to develop this thing because it actually helps us see, you know, what's closer, which maybe could also be like a missile. So let's do that instead. And there's probably like a tug of war between them. But it definitely seems like Ronald Reagan was one of the early, you know, we got to have the Star Wars program. We need to have this, mm-hmm. you know, defense shield. And I'm always like, what did you have? Like, who told you what? Mm-hmm. Why'd you freak out about that? Was it a scam, you know, just to get more money into, you know, the defense sector or whatever? But maybe he knew
or
something.
Did he see something?
Yeah. Or he's told, you know, Jimmy Carter used a remote viewer to find a downed aircraft. And a religious man was like, he was like, I can't explain how that person could do that. They just did it. Like, they told
some
me.
Things
so some explain. Shit can't be explained. So I think you're right, though. We have to focus that the money, yes, it's while defense is great, we also need to invest in what the fuck is out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Not just for safety purposes, but exploration purposes. Just
we might have a friend.
Yes. And more answers of all the questions we have. Like, where did we come from? Who are we? What are we doing here?
Mm-hmm. But when we wave, the aliens are like, don't go down there. They'll jerk you off. Don't you know what happened to E.T. and Roswell?
Find that blonde lady. She knows.
She'll protect us. Yes. He's like, ho, I've got her right here.
Oh, man. And out of out of Santa's sack comes E.T. Like, and I'm like, my life's been made. It all started. It started, I don't remember what year that came out, but I remember seeing it in the theaters, sobbing uncontrollably, and
here we are.
Come full circle. To this day, it can still make me cry. So something about that, mm-hmm. beyond just like, oh, it's, you know, some movies make us emotional. There really was something that struck a chord with like an innocent creature that was benevolent and kind and sweet being poked and prodded by our government, even in like such a young age. I was like, this is so sad, to the point where mm-hmm. I like crawled in my dad's lap and just sobbed through the movie and then came home and cried to my mom about it at like 4 years old, mm-hmm. which might be a normal reaction. I don't know. But I think it's interesting that 40 years later, these same questions are being asked, and I don't have any more answers. I just have more questions. Somebody has more answers, and they're all going missing.
Well, no, I think you're right, though. You touched on a fundamental truth about humans, which is that when you see a unsuspecting, innocent creature of any kind, and you have the empathetic capacity to put yourself in that shoes, which you are one of the most caring, kind, open-hearted, feeling, loving person, well, and you've made me sweet. A better person by being just merely in proximity with you. So it stands to reason that a four-year-old you would be just, you know, it's like inherent, you know what I mean? It's like it's your nature. Like, you're never like, well, I have to be more empathetic, said Heather McKinney. I really do. And it, like I said, you really have made me like, and it's not because you're like, oh, you need to be like this. It's truly just your example of the caring that you just, it just emanates and exudes from you. Well, I'm sorry. But anyways, all that to say, no wonder
I've been crying all week. So
no, you're fine.
It's okay. But
all that to say, this is merely an observation. Not to sound like a psycho, like unemotional, like as I things I've observed.
Robot Heather must have feelings.
I know. I'm like, you're going to melt my little robot heart. But truly, like, I feel like it makes sense that you would see a creature be treated like that, and that would become like a core concern, because ET is a good stand-in for animals or plants, you know, nature, whatever. But it's
innocence
also
in general.
In innocence, it's also in children, what we've been covering, but it's also a stand-in for fucking ETs, right? So we do not to track back to the go back to the Zizians too, but their whole theory of like, well, if the thing treat, you know, if it's a whole do onto others situation, we're trying to do well onto others, trying to do good onto others. And so I think with Disclosure Day, literally the film called Disclosure Day, also by Steven Spielberg, coming out in, you know, mid-June, which we're gonna go see it. Maybe E.T. makes a cameo and was like, it was me the whole time.
Oh my gosh. What if he does make a cameo? Oh.
It was him the whole time. I don't know. But
I don't think it's a coincidence that Spielberg happens to be releasing a movie called Disclosure Day months before a anticipated disclosure or contact is supposed to happen. Disclosure is still right now. And I've said for a while, like, what if all the films and books and all the things that we consume media-wise have grains of truth in them? And it is like soft disclosure to get everyone kind of familiar with stuff that might not be just in the movies. Why wouldn't you have Steven Spielberg, you know, who probably knows stuff? He probably knew stuff in E.T., you know? I mean, all these celebrity rich people run in the same crowds. It's all like that 6 degrees. So, you know, you're like, I'm doing a movie about ETs. You want to know about some ETs? I got somebody you can talk to that's seen one.
Right. Like, go have dinner with this retired general will take you to dinner. And then you go, no, I think you're right. And it's one of those where I think a skeptic would be like, well, not all movies and TV shows. And certainly not. But I think core ones. And like you said, by a director or writer or producer who is like somehow plugged into that network. Literally, Tom DeLonge said out loud, that's the purpose of the To the Stars Academy, was to create television, movies, and books that are soft disclosures of knowable information that he has gathered from inside government sources. So the fact that he straight up said, like, I'm trying to do soft disclosure and I'm using fiction to do it. If you're skeptical of it, be like, well, at least there's one guy and his novels are doing it. And to me, it stands to reason that there's more than one guy.
Why would it just be one guy? Yeah.
And they're not open. And especially one guy that's kind of a low level guy. You know, Tom DeLonge, Blink-182 is famous. He's not Steven Spielberg, Academy Award winning kind of face. So he's getting into some rooms way back when. Now I think he's earned his stripes and definitely gets, you know, seats at tables that Spielberg might be at or whatever. But I think you're right, though. Man, fucking Disclosure Day. It turns out it was E.T. the whole time.
What if we have contact and they all look like E.T.?
They'll be so cute, though.
I don't even know what I would do. I'd be so happy and overwhelmed at the same. I would just be like, welcome to, you can all live in my home. I don't care how many of you there are.
It's a sanctuary.
It's what do you need? What's your bathroom sitch? What do you eat? I'll get it all for you. And then my children, you know, have to learn how to, well, Ella knows how to ride a bike, so that's good. Great. We got to get a basket on the bike.
Stop it. She's like, we're going out with our friends. And it's like, you and Simon. And she's like, yes, and our other friend, too. Like, stop.
Oh, my goodness. Well, he's going to end up going to school with them.
Little hoodie on. Little Sinister Hood hoodie on. Stop it.
Oh, God. And we both love Reese's Pieces, so.
Done and done.
We're already soulmates.
Done and done. Well, I think that's what Carl Grillmare and Michael David Hicks and Frank Maywald were all looking for, you know, trying to find these other planets or make contact, and that's where it's all happening. JPL. Sinisterhood will be right back. We were together the other day when I purchased my melting ice cream cone cookie jar.
Yes.
And it looks amazing on my article shelf next to my giant banana, my tiny little frog, and I have a little Bigfoot on there. And I love how classy and sleek mid-century modern my article shelves look with my whimsy. It's exactly it's exactly the juxtaposition I yearned for. So thank you to Article for the classy bookshelf, and it also came fully assembled, and it's a yes. high quality. So people are like, man, that weirdo's got good taste.
I love our Article chairs, the boucle in the cream. They're so comfortable.
Oh, I love them.
They also brought them in, assembled the legs, put them down, didn't have to touch a thing. A beautiful shelf I had ordered, unfortunately, due to my own issues of not measuring correctly, didn't work correctly. But Article came out, picked it up, no questions asked. They took it back, totally didn't have to disassemble anything. And there were no issues getting a mirror in place of it, which looks so beautiful. Good in our living room. And it all, like, we had like just kind of a basic, you know, wooden framed mirror there. This adds, it takes it up to like, oh, from a 6 to like an 11 now.
I remember when I walked in your living room, I went, where is that mirror from? You were like, Articles. Of course it is. Of course it is.
It's, yeah, all their stuff looks great. Article has seriously changed the way I shop for furniture. Their curated collections like mid-century modern, coastal, and Scandi make it super easy to mix and match pieces that actually look good together. It's not overwhelming, and every piece feels intentional. I love that what you're getting is high quality, well-crafted furniture. It looks expensive, but it doesn't come with the sticker shock, and the fact that most of it arrives already assembled. Come on. Assembling furniture is my 7th circle of hell. So anything that comes assembled, a miracle.
Yeah, you can tell the difference too. When the piece arrived, the packaging was thoughtful. Like I said, it's solid. The craftsman is impressive. It's just nice feeling. It looks good. You can tell they're not just throwing in filler pieces because you got to fill out a catalog. If you don't know where to start, great news. Their support team is wonderful. They offer free design help, fast delivery, fair pricing, and a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. Just use Article. Why are you jacking around with people who are going to piss you off?
Article is offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim, visit article.com/creepy, and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/creepy for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. Down south, even more related discoveries were being made. In 1987, Amy Eskridge was born in Huntsville, Alabama, home of NASA's Marshall Space Flight Center. The daughter of Richard Eskridge, a NASA propulsion engineer who specialized in plasma physics, Amy earned a double major in chemistry and biology from the University of Alabama in Huntsville, with advanced work in electrical engineering and physics.
She called Huntsville the something like the secret you have never heard about, like the space flight, and they do a lot of stuff down there,
and that's everything where, can be traced back to there.
A lot of Nazis that got brought to the United States under Operation Paperclip, stay tuned for an upcoming episode, ended up in Huntsville at the Marshall Center. Like at the,
that's interesting.
Yeah. Oh no,
probably not related.
Oh no.
In 2016, Amy co-founded the company Holocron Engineering with her father, who was by then retired. Their focus was gravity modification research. She also co-founded the Institute for Exotic Science, with its stated mission of publicly disclosing anti-gravity technology. By 2018, Amy and Richard had made progress. They gave a public presentation on anti-gravity research through Holocron. Amy began speaking at conferences, warning privately and publicly that disclosing her research could make her a target. She was proven right in 2019 when two men interrupted Amy's presentation at a conference. The exchange was caught on video and uploaded to YouTube at the time, but did not garner much attention. When the footage resurfaced in April 2026, online viewers interpreted the man's question, in which he asked Amy,
"What about the innovator who's afraid of disappearing?"
as a warning about going public with her research.
Yeah, she's standing in front of some guys. It's not like a huge room. And it starts off with this older guy behind the camera asking the question. And he goes, "What about the innovator who's afraid of disappearing?" And she's standing up and you can tell she's kind of nervous. And she's like, "That's a whole other problem. I think doing it in the public is better in that case, but that's a different." And then a different old man goes, "Doesn't mean you won't disappear. Even if you do it in the public, it still don't mean the inventor won't disappear for lots of reasons. And then the man filming says, like Ming Li, which frankly, I did not look that up because I was transcribed this right before we went to air. So we'll look that up before next time. But it was just a strange exchange. Like, granted, it's a woman being addressed as women in a male-dominated field probably are, which is to say, like, sort of cut off. She's also way younger than them by decades. So that's probably also another issue. But it was like, and the guys aren't even really aggressive. They're just sort of like, what do you think about that? Aren't you afraid of disappearing? And she's like, oh, I don't know. And they're like, you still might.
Just a reminder, like, hey, by the way, we're watching you.
Yeah, I was like, who are these guys? And how did this video get uploaded? But I've not been able to find any of that. But it's it does exist. I saw the footage myself.
And I think it's not even a secret that the CIA, NASA, the government sends people to keep an eye on these people at all times.
Oh, definitely. You know what you're letting out, what if pieces of what you're letting out would be valuable to foreign adversaries. And that's a national security risk because if the CIA don't stop you, you know, somebody that wants that information can just sign up to go to a conference. And a lot of folks like Amy, I don't know that she was one of them, but a lot of folks, you know, who are cutting edge publishing in a field, they'll get invited to a conference that, oh, I don't know, turns out Jeffrey Epstein's co-sponsoring to get a list of people who are working in that field. You know, again, I'm not saying that was that conference with Amy, but it is not unheard of that powers that be want to gather you in a place in order to hear what it is you've got to say and make note.
And it's such a bummer that your passion and your work and the thing that you have like dedicated your life to researching and figuring out, once you do so, you're like, well, if I publish this, I'm probably going to get killed. If I keep it to myself, I'm probably going to go insane. So why did I start this if not to share this information? Maybe you didn't know how dangerous it was, but maybe also you were put in that position to find out everything because they knew you would be able to because you're super smart. And then once you discovered it,
yeah, they're kind of done with you. No, and I think that was her idea with the Institute of Exotic Science that, well, if the Institute puts the information out, then I'm safer. But at the end of the day, they're like, well, who's running the Institute?
Yeah. Yeah. Finally, in 2020, Amy stated publicly that she was ready to present
new foundational research on anti-gravity,
but required NASA authorization first. She never presented her findings. In a podcast interview, she said,
if you stick your neck out in public, at least someone notices if your head gets chopped off.
Eskridge told colleague and British former intelligence officer Frank Milburn that she was being stalked, harassed, and targeted by a directed energy weapon as retaliation for her most recent theoretical work. She shared photos and videos of burns on her hands and described an RFK band emitter in a parked SUV.
And I've also seen the footage of the her redness on her hands. In 2022, we covered Havana Syndrome back then. Yeah. And guess what? Most people were like, yeah, okay, something's shooting you through your walls. And literally 60 Minutes weeks ago were like, yeah, they were shooting you through the walls. It is a Russian piece of equipment and it exists and it has been used on all these people. Sorry for gaslighting you. It's like, what?
And then you're like, well, okay, if this, then what? If we found out this was true, then kind of subsequently, all these other things have to be true because why were they using what we now know was, you know, real radioactive technology to microwave zap people through walls, make them go crazy? You're like, well, you wouldn't be doing that if you didn't want those people to not share the information they had or enter any kind of reason here. And she even said, with her hands being red, that the technology would be able to map how her fingers were typing and where. So even if they couldn't see her screen or what she was typing, they would be able to deduce whatever it is she was reporting.
Like log, her keystrokes.
Crazy. crazy no. that that exists.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's like, and the folks that have access to it are very high level, and that we don't hear about it until 5 years later once somebody else is, you know, once people have already come out and said, you know, I'm having these headaches. I was sitting in my couch and I just collapsed or whatever. And there's also footage of her, which I want to address because I went and found the original video. There's short clips of her. And she is absolutely drunk in them. And yeah. it's because the interview was, and I watched the first, you know, if you watch in the first few minutes, it was like a virtual happy hour with a friend. Mm-hmm. So imagine me and you get on a call, I'm filming you, and I tell you, Christy, drink the whole time. We're going to be mm-hmm. drinking. And she's having wine and she's getting a little looser lipped. It's about a 3 hour interview. Well, again, she is having wine on the, and she says at the beginning, like, let's drink and talk about UFOs. So repeatedly, I think people discount her because she's a woman, and repeatedly they discount her because the clips that have been taken out of this 3 hour interview, it's like a, you know, 10, 20, 30 second thing. She's obviously drunk. Yes. Cause it was like a happy hour video. So yeah. then I'm like, well, how interesting that all the footage that's public of her talking about this, the people at the fucking beginning induced her and were like, we're all going to drink. Like, let's drink and talk. Mm-hmm. There's also a third person on that video who every time they talk, the voice is muted. So yeah,
I've never even heard a third person on, and I've seen many of those clips.
And I on the YouTube, you see, it's like Zoom. So there's two heads at the top and then her talking. So that the two heads is the one guy that does talk and then another person who doesn't. Yeah. And then all the times she's going, right? Yeah. Just nodding and like, y'all can't, you can see me on YouTube. She's just kind of looking at the camera nodding. Well, then the other person is talking, but all their audio is cut out. So then I'm like, who the fuck was that? Mm-hmm. And in that interview, she's talking about having been approached by what she calls handlers before, which she's like, you know, someone comes into your life and is like, hey, I want to date you. I want to go out with you and like whatever. And she's like, you figure out like they're just collecting information on you.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck, what a life. But again, folks see that and go, I think she's like mentally ill because she's like drunk on a Zoom. I said, well, for me, I want context because if this is a mentally ill person drunk on a Zoom, certainly I want to hear that. But the fact that at the beginning she's not and she's all right. And they're like, yeah, have some more wine.
Yeah. And also of all the footage that exists of her, that those clips from that drunken Zoom are the only ones I've seen. Like, yeah. I don't see the clip shared where she's presenting at a conference and telling mm-hmm. colleagues about stuff. So it seems like it's intentional to only leak the footage that kind of makes her look bad. And only because she's drunk, what she's saying, I believe her 100%. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. and she says like, we discovered anti-gravity and it's the worst thing that's ever happened to us. Our lives mm-hmm. are over. People are threatening us. I can't go anywhere without looking over my shoulder. And when you get a little liquid courage, the mm-hmm. truth spills out, which I think is what these people on the Zoom call wanted to happen. So mm-hmm. everything that she says on that call, I'm like, holy hell, I'd be drinking too if this was my life.
That's exactly what I was thinking too, of like, of course this would cause depression, anxiety, all of these things. And this was not a person who in 2019 was like at a, like you said, at a conference being like, hey everybody, this is my anti-gravity. Right. So this is a rational person who, Chelsea Manning herself said it, nuts and sluts, they're going to make you look crazy. Yeah. They don't want people to believe what you say. So they're going to make you look crazy. And it's so heart-wrenching for me. And it's repeatedly been male podcasters, journalists, whatever, with the exception of Ross Coulthart from News Nation, who definitely believes, you know, she was targeted. But, and, you know, he's kind of like in with all, you know, George Knapp and all the UAP mm-hmm. people. But I've heard like talking head douchebag guys be like, she's just a fucking drunk, crazy lady, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that was intentional. They got yeah. her to do that. That was intentional. And like you 100%. Said, it's flooded. All the clips of her are flooded. And so everyone's just like, because I was the same way. When I first watched it, I was like, this bitch sounds like she's got something wrong with her. She sounds mm-hmm. crazy. She sounds drunk. Well, then finding the beginning, you're like, she's not drunk at the beginning. She's, no. What the fuck?
And also, why aren't we sharing, you know, videos of her giving presentations or speeches, lectures at places or working on her work? Because that's not clickbaity. And that doesn't also discredit her reputation and give context. Or see how unhappy she was. Of course she took her own life.
Mm-hmm. Or I've seen douchebag guys go, well, I talked to a guy who knew her and he said like, yeah, she was smart, but like she thought she was really smart. And, you know, she was only kind of smart. And I'm like, That's what we're going off of? Some fucking dude said it about this lady who's had published papers and was like, are you kidding me?
Double
like,
majored what? In two of the hardest subjects. Also, anyway. I think she said she almost got a third PhD in something, but like was yeah. just a couple credits short. Her father was a genius. She was a genius. You know, and nuts and sluts is exactly what it boils down to.
If this was a man, I feel like people would be less skeptical and mm-hmm. discounting her less. But still, probably the drinking on the Zoom call was effective. But I think by then she probably was just like, fuck it. And I think she also suffered like pain in her body, mm-hmm. that she was on some pain medication that she eventually stopped taking and whatnot. But
probably because she's getting zapped through the walls
ba-bam.
With a Havana syndrome yep. thingy.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
Who knows what else they're doing to her? I mean, yeah. they have ways of getting to people that we can't even fathom.
Mm-hmm. Oh, innumerable ways, like cutting off your finances, cutting off people in your life, social engineering, sending messages to people that seem like they're from you, but they're not. It's mm-hmm. It's terrifying.
It's very, very scary. On May 13th, 2022, Eskridge texted business partner Samuel Reed a frightening message.
If you see any report that I killed myself, I most definitely did not. If you see any report that I overdosed, I most definitely did not. If anything happens to me, suicide or an accident, it wasn't. It's suspicious. Treat it as such.
1 month later, she was dead. On June 11th, Amy, just 34 at the time, was found in Huntsville with a single gunshot wound to the head. The Madison County coroner ruled it suicide. Local police closed the case. There was no public police report, autopsy findings, or public investigative report ever released. Her family, including her father, who co-founded both companies with her, said there was nothing suspicious about her death. However, her research associates in Milburn disputed this.
I don't know how we go from that text to...
Yeah, there's nothing suspicious about this.
Getting Boeinged in the parking lot.
Yeah, that... I mean, she says it in the drunken Zoom, too. Like,
yes.
You know, in that, too, she also mentions sticking your neck out. At least they know something happened. If you keep this information to yourself and die, like, nobody even knows that the evidence existed. But to go above and beyond, not just to Samuel Reed, but to many people in her life, her friends, her family, her colleagues, all saying, hey, if they start saying I killed myself, I did not. I'm totally fine. To the point now where, I mean, my feed is just filled with scientists.
And journalists.
Like 80-year-old science, this 80-year-old mm-hmm. man that's like, I feel like I should come on and say I'm not suicidal because of the information I know. I'm like, it's a real fear they all have because they know. And so then when I see like these established scientists that have worked in these industries for decades that aren't taking it as a joke. And they're like, oh, I think I should also say I'm not suicidal. It's pretty telling of, well, what information do you know that they're mm-hmm. they're trying to take everybody out?
No, that's a good point too, is that you know it's not an empty threat or a rumor or something. Right. And in researching this, I just came across, there was a rash of scientists being killed in the 60s, a rash of scientists being killed in the 80s, a rash of scientists. So again, this is not unprecedented. This happens, whether it is your own government or a foreign adversary going, that's the one that knows about this, and that's the one that knows about this, and that's the one that knows about this, and just picking them all off the list.
As far as her dad, I mean, you know, it's hard for any parent to grapple with their child's death, mm-hmm. no matter how it happens. Part of me wonders, was he threatened in a way, like, if you don't agree with us that this was not suspicious, then we're just going to take out you and all your family. So
yeah,
what do you
or even
do?
You're not even tacitly threatened. You're just like, oh
yeah,
they're like, your daughter has been shot in the head, and you're like, okay. And they're like, she was working on a lot of stuff, huh? Probably mm-hmm. not going to work on that anymore since she's dead, right? And you're like, nope, thank you. Complete conjecture, complete speculation.
Yeah, yeah.
He is a well-renowned plasma scientist. Plasma? Wait a minute. Didn't we mention that earlier? Something that you really needed to travel through time
yep.
and space?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm. Sinister Hood will be right back. Man, I love that we got a new little puppy, and she's so sweet. But when she jumps on the bed and rubs her little paws on my nice Bowling Branch sheets, and there's dirt on them, and I'm like, now I got to strip the bed and wash them. Boy, I took your advice. Just buy every set of sheets as a Bowling Branch sheet. Then you're not disappointed mm-hmm. when you remove the sheets to wash them. And then you're like, now I got to put on the fucking sandpaper sheets that mm-hmm. I hate. Never again, because it's all Bowling Branch, baby.
It said BB house only. Around here and now at your house. Yeah.
Yes.
They're the best sheets. They're the softest sheets. They are pretty. They feel luxurious. I got into bed last night and I was like, oh my God. Everything that was touching my body was from Bowling Branch. The sheets, the duvet, the down duvet insert. And I was like, golly, I'm comfortable right now.
And it thermal regulates too. I feel like their stuff's not too hot. It doesn't keep you too hot. You have their waffle blanket too. It's got some airflow to it. But they've got all kinds of choices so you can stay extra warm in the wintertime or like we're about to need, cool it off in the summer. So sleep cooler this summer with Bowling Branch. Get 15% off your first order plus free shipping at bowlingbranch.com/creepy with code creepy.
That's Bowling Branch, bowlingbranch.com/creepy, code creepy, to unlock 15% off. bowlingbranch.com/creepy, code creepy. Exclusions apply. In June 2023, Frank Miwald of JPL in California published what would be his last major research breakthrough, a method for detecting signs of life on other worlds using remote sensing instruments. A month later, on July 30th, recently retired JPL scientist Michael David Hicks died at age 59. His cause of death was never publicly disclosed, and there was no autopsy on record. His daughter told reporters he had known medical issues.
Shout out to the journalist Lauren Conlon of LA Mag. She was able to get his death certificate. It says he died of atherosclerosis, heart disease, secondary to morbid obesity, and that also his obituary said donations could be made to Al-Anon. Some folks have used that to make conjecture, you know, that so potentially just a natural death to a person who happens to be related to all this, but folks have been listing him along the murdered scientist.
On July 4th, just days after his colleague died, Frank Miwald, age 61, died in Los Angeles. His cause of death was never publicly disclosed either. His passing was noted only by a single obituary on legacy.com. He had been working on a NASA Earth mapping mission and advanced microwave radiometer instruments with both scientific and defense applications. JPL and NASA declined to comment on either man's death.
And Frank Miwald, I believe she said she tried to look for his death certificate and was unable to find it. But that could be, I believe he was German by birth and perhaps his name was, you know, spelled differently or the death certificate got filed somewhere else. So remains undisclosed reasoning. So who knows? But that's an interesting earth mapping mission and also advanced microwave radiometer instruments. I don't know what you do with that microwave radio stuff, but you get far with it.
It sounds like the stuff you shoot through a wall to track map somebody's hands to see what they're typing or give them a piercing headache and you know, send them into psychosis,
which also could happen with that kind of stuff.
On New Year's Day 2025 at approximately 8:39 a.m. Pacific time, Matthew Allen Leivelsberger, an active duty U.S. Army Green Beret, parked a rented Tesla Cybertruck in the porte-cochere of Trump International Hotel Las Vegas. He was an Army Special Forces Operations Master Sergeant, a senior enlisted rank, assigned to the 10th Special Forces Group based in Germany, though he was on approved leave at the time. He was 37 years old and from Colorado Springs, Colorado. He had served in the Army since 2006 and deployed twice to Afghanistan, also serving in Ukraine, Tajikistan, Georgia, and Congo. Parked mere feet from the hotel entrance, the Cybertruck exploded and caught fire. However, Leivelsberger's cause of death was a self-inflicted gunshot to the head. The explosion caused minor injuries to 7 people, but no damage to the hotel itself. The vehicle was loaded with 60 pounds of pyrotechnic material and 70 pounds of birdshot. Leivelsberger stopped during the drive to Las Vegas to pour racing-grade fuel into the Cybertruck, and authorities were not certain exactly what detonated the explosion. EV experts noted the materials were enough to generate significant heat and fire, but produced only a relatively low-grade explosion with limited structural damage.
I took that analysis of it, you know, being this is enough shit that you've piled in to burn you really good, but it's not going to blow the whole hotel up. Like it was, you wanted to blow the Cybertruck up, you wanted to blow yourself up, or somebody wanted you to blow up in the Cybertruck, but you, it was not there to blow the whole building down is what it sounds like. You remember this, that I mean, was, we all do.
If that was your intention, why also would you shoot yourself in the head?
Correct, yeah. And like, when did you do that? And how did it detonate?
Or the order of operations here.
Yeah, it leaves a lot of questions. But you might be wondering why we're talking about this guy, because like, he's an Army Green Beret, right? In a rented Tesla Cybertruck. This has nothing to do with anything. And that's what the investigators certainly wanted us to think.
Investigators described it as
a tragic case of suicide involving a heavily decorated combat veteran who was struggling with PTSD and other issues.
Per FBI Special Agent in Charge, Spencer Evans, Leivelsberger left notes saying the explosion was a stunt meant to be
a wake-up call
for the nation's troubles, writing that he needed to
cleanse my mind of fallen brothers and relieve myself of the burden of the lives I took.
Notably, his letters expressed no ill will toward President Trump. In fact, he wrote that the country needed to
rally around
both Trump and Elon Musk.
I just want to say, what the fuck is up with the FBI writing these fake-ass letters? I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. It's fake.
It's fake. And it's insulting. It's embarrassing. It's like a, you know, just a bunch of Keystone Cops trying to, like, cover up a conspiracy, a murder. And they don't do a good job. And so then it's just, like, even more insulting that it's so, I don't know. In my opinion, and this is just my opinion, someone else shot him in the head. He was in that Cybertruck. You know what they can do with Cybertrucks? They can just remotely take them over and drive them and also explode them.
Especially if it's full with a bunch of shit to explode. Yeah, I just learned this all today. I got down a blockchain rabbit hole. And just the idea that when we put data into a machine, so you type something in your computer, then that causes the machine to move and that generates heat. So like information is heat generating. You know, so it's like, and it, for instance, Samsung phones used to blow up. Not all of them, but a certain type of them. And they're like, oh, well, to fix it, you know, we'll send this software update. So you're saying software can make a phone not blow up, but also it can make it blow up. So my, again, my feeble understanding of physics would be that, yeah, this could be something that you could do remotely. It's it's giving Tyler Robinson, look under the keyboard, my darling. I've done the crime and written it out for you.
And the fact that it was in front of a Trump hotel, but then the note also was like, I have no ill will toward Trump. Why would you drive it to his hotel then? To you know what I mean?
Yeah, and to
nothing adds up.
No, and I think the sad thing is the powers that be would frame a person with mental health issues. You know, he probably did have PTSD or whatever.
Oh, I'm
so
sure.
To be like, let's pick that one. Let's have that one do it. Yeah. Why? Well, maybe some emails he sent.
However, there may have been another motive. Before the explosion, Leivelsberger allegedly sent an email to retired U.S. Army Chief Warrant Officer and intelligence analyst Sam Shumate, who later revealed it on the Sean Ryan Show podcast. In the email, Leivelsberger claimed that the mysterious drone sightings on the U.S. East Coast were actually
gravitic propulsion systems.
Essentially, anti-gravity aircraft operated by China and historically by the U.S. as well. He claimed only the U.S. and China possessed this capability, and that China had been launching them from submarines in the Atlantic for years.
Which is funny, with the New Jersey drones and the drones that were over Wright-Patterson, the drones that were over, what was the one? I think the Air Force base around the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area, too. And they were having to hide the Super Hornets, the F-22s with blankets. But they were folks were saying, you know, it feels like they're coming out from the ocean. It feels like they're being launched from the ocean. Well, that would certainly make sense. And if it looked like if you were utilizing some type of a really valuable metal and also plasma and also anti-gravity propulsion technology, what a convenient thing. And if the mm-hmm. person that knew about it was out emailing his buddies, he's about to take a long ride in a Cybertruck.
Yeah. I really do think they just have their pick of the litter when it's time to pin something on someone or make a big splash, a big distraction of like, they just, like we were talking about the other night, it's like, okay, who has a bit of some mental health problems here?
And leaves nearby.
That guy? That guy, and he also sent those emails. Cool. We're going to get him in a Cybertruck and lock him in there and mm-hmm. drive his ass over to the hotel and just blow it up.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, I think you're right. It'd be one thing if he didn't send these emails before. You know what I mean? But it's
this is a big clue.
Sinister Hood will be right back.
This episode is brought to you by IQBar, our exclusive snack, hydration, and coffee sponsor. IQBar protein bars, IQ Mix hydration mixes, and IQ Joe mushroom coffees are the delicious, low-sugar, brain and body fuel you need to win your day.
If you want to try everything IQ Bar makes, the Ultimate Sampler Pack is the way to go. It includes 9 IQ Bars, 8 IQ Mix Sticks, and 4 IQ Joe Sticks. All their products are gluten-free, dairy-free, soy-free, and made without GMOs or artificial sweeteners. The bars are packed with clean plant protein, fiber, and brain-boosting ingredients like magnesium, lion's mane, and adaptogens. IQ Mix helps with hydration and focus, while IQ Joe delivers smooth, jitter-free energy with 200 milligrams of natural caffeine and flavors taste better than any drip coffee.
With over 20,000 five-star reviews and counting, more people than ever are fueling their busy lifestyles with IQ Bars, brain and body boosting bars, hydration mixes, and mushroom coffees. Their ultimate sampler pack includes all 3.
If all I had to drink for the rest of my life was raspberry lemonade IQ mix, I'd be fine with that because first of all, I'd be hydrated, I'd be focused as hell, and it tastes so good.
I love it. That one, the Arnold Palmer, the IQ Bars, every single one of them I enjoy. We send them as snacks in the kids' lunches. They like them too. And I feel good about sending them because I'm boosting their brains and bodies.
It's made with good stuff, baby. And right now, IQ Bar is offering our special podcast listeners 20% off all IQ Bar products, including the Ultimate Sampler Pack, plus free shipping. To get your 20% off, text CREEPY to 64,000. Text CREEPY to 64,000. That's CREEPY to 64,000. Message and data rates may apply. See terms for details.
Leivelsberger described these drones as representing
the most dangerous threat to national security that ever existed,
arguing they had unlimited payload capacity and could hover over critical locations like the White House. He compared the technology to the Chinese spy balloon shot down off the South Carolina coast in 2023 and accused the U.S. government of covering up that drone operation.
It makes total sense that if half the drones we were seeing over the last, 18 to 24 months were Chinese and half were American, the American ones are like, you didn't see any drones? Mm-hmm. You didn't see anything? Because if they go, listen, they're these Chinese plasma drones. They're anti-gravity devices. We have them too. It's crazy business. That everyone's like, you have what now?
Mm-hmm.
Wait,
mm-hmm.
what?
Yeah. Shoemate had received similar communications from others before and described the pattern bluntly.
Allegations of war crimes, government anti-gravity technologies, and fears about being tracked and watched by the feds. It's always, the world is ending and I have this information that needs to get to the media, and never, how you doing, brother?
Leivelsberger's writings also referenced a purported cover-up of a 2019 airstrike in Afghanistan and expressed fears that he was under U.S. government surveillance. Law enforcement officials noted they were still investigating the authenticity of these writings.
Somebody like this that's, Special Ops Green Beret, he knows that we do war crimes to people.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And how? And, maybe these anti-gravity devices are somehow used in that, or maybe not. It's just two different things that he was burdened with the knowledge of, but sound like he was trying to get it out.
And it sounds like this is just such a hard world to exist in, because mm-hmm. at any second you could find something out that maybe you didn't even want to know, but now your life's on the line because you do.
Yeah. And the people we're fixing to talk about at Los Alamos, I feel like are similar, where it's like, I don't even do this. Like, I just mm-hmm. happen to see this. I don't want to know this information, but I'm burdened with it now. And now what do I do? And the second it leaks out, nobody knows where you're at anymore.
Los Alamos National Laboratory, or LANL, is where the U.S. designed and built the atomic bomb during the Manhattan Project, and it remains one of the primary facilities responsible for maintaining, modernizing, and certifying the entire U.S. nuclear weapons stockpile today. Two people associated with the lab went missing summer of 2025. On May 4th, 2025, Anthony Chavez, age 78, retired LANL construction foreman, left his home in Los Alamos on foot. He left his wallet, keys, and phone behind. He was never seen again. The next month, on June 26, Melissa Casillas, age 53, an LANL administrative assistant with security clearance, disappeared from Taos County, New Mexico. She was last seen walking along a road. Her car, purse, keys, and both phones were found at her home. Both phones had been factory reset, wiping all recent data. Her family said she was about to care for her mother ahead of surgery. Police have not confirmed foul play was involved. The local police chief stated there is no information linking either disappearance to their work at the lab.
Melissa Casillas' disappearance on its own could be a whole two-episode arc, mm-hmm. if not more. Crime Junkie just did a episode on it because Melissa's niece reached out to them and asked them to cover it. And they've since had other direct contacts. I believe they hired several journalists over at the Audio Chuck Network who are reaching out firsthand to talk to these folks and have been making strange connections. You know, there was some talk about a friend of Melissa driving from Colorado to Taos to deliver some cash to Melissa's daughter for a graduation gift. And so Melissa's daughter, you know, told the Crime Junkie folks about it. And then when they tried to pin down who this lady was, the lady, you know, said, well, I don't know them. No, that wasn't me. And the phone number that they had associated was associated with the man that worked for a contractor that did contracting work with Los Alamos, but the man had not identified himself on the initial meeting with Melissa's daughter. So just some strange things, you know, I'm not saying those people are responsible for her death, but just a strange thing to happen. And, you know, walking down the road, leaving all your personal items behind, having left her badge. She was supposed to work from home that day, but she had left her badge at work and then had walked close to where a highway was, about 3 miles from her house. There's a word that a blue truck was seen, you know, near her, maybe like an older model beat up blue truck. So just these strange elements to a missing, you know, this wasn't a person that got in their car and drove away or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's odd.
Oh, for sure. The factory reset of both of her phones is enough to be a huge red flag, wiping all the data off. Several of these missing person cases where they leave their phones behind and anything that might be able to track them. I don't know. Either in my head, someone forced you to do that,
mm-hmm.
or you did it intentionally because you don't want to be tracked for whatever reason. You've decided you really are going to take your own life. You get a call from whoever that's like, it's go time. And you know, okay, I got to get to the highway because I'm going to get picked up in 5 minutes by this blue truck who's going to take me to the underground facility where everybody's working on this shit because I got it. It's time to do that. It's go time.
Yeah, it was just her day was strange, like you said, because the daughter woke up at 7:30, said that Melissa came home 15 minutes later, which was like surprising because she should be at work. And Sierra is her daughter. You know, Sierra's like, why are you home? And Melissa said, oh, I left my badge. Sierra was like, all right, fine. Left for work. Didn't think anything of it. And then I believe Melissa was supposed to deliver a car to her daughter or to her husband around 11 a.m. Did not. He just assumed she was busy or something. And so, you know, they called back and forth, you know, like, is everybody okay? And then Melissa picked up a Subway sandwich for Sierra, took it to where Sierra worked, gave her the sandwich, met with her for the last time. Sierra gave her mother a check saying, hey, drop this off at the bank. Sierra later said Melissa was a little quiet at the time, but sort of overall, you know, otherwise was kind of her normal self, just was like, I don't know, she's busy or whatever. But then that was the last time anybody heard from her and her family. A family acquaintance saw her about 2:18 p.m. walking eastbound toward Pot Creek, which is an area kind of 3 miles from the family home, but like on this New Mexico 518, and was recorded by a security camera of a local business wearing the same clothes that she was last seen wearing, but had a backpack on the recording. And so Melissa or Sierra, her daughter, believes maybe she took a couple of items from the house, like a toothbrush, hair iron situation. And her family thinks she got into a car potentially after that. But like you said, whose car, why, you know, that's kind of different than going, oh, I'm going to go die by suicide in the woods alone.
Yeah. These are the type of cases that keep me up because somebody knows something. I don't think it's as cut and dry as I've decided to end my life. I don't know. I don't know how these things work, but if you work in a government job like this, where you have a lot of high security clearance, and they do call you and say, we're picking you up in an hour, you say goodbye to your family. Don't let them know what's going on, you know, but if you want to see your daughter again, and so you go give her a sandwich and you know this is the last time we're going to see each other. I'd be a little quiet for sure, you know. And who picked her up? Great question. What I hope is that the scientists that are missing are not dead, but have perhaps been taken to a facility where all of their knowledge and skills are being used, and like they may or may not have known that day was coming, but like I don't know, maybe you don't have a choice. It's like you're either gonna do this or we're gonna kill you, so which one do you want to do?
No, truly. Well, and folks had said like, oh, you know, she's just an administrative assistant, she probably doesn't know that much. Do you know who had top secret security clearance to where the FBI came to my family's home to interview all of our neighbors? My dad. My dad was not a scientist. He was a shipping and receiving guy. He literally was in the mailroom where packages came. And then he would go like, this package goes to this person. And he would walk through. And he said people would have like turn their computer monitors off when he came in, even though, but he still had security clearance. But he knew, you know, you kind of don't look at the computers. You keep your head down. And he's like, I'm not trying to see nothing that they're going to have to kill me. And he said one time a guy was like, come in here and see this thing we're making. And he was just like, are you sure? And he said they let him come in, and it was like an armored personnel carrier. It was like an APC vehicle. So it wasn't like super secret. And my dad didn't know enough about those. So like, but he was like, man, that door was like 3 feet thick, like a super blast resistant door and stuff like that. But that's the kind of shit they work on. And even though my dad, like, you know, he loved his job, he loved his colleagues, but he knew, I said, what's your job? Is it space plans? And he was like, yeah, like satellites that can read the newspaper from space. Like that's the kind of stuff they do. So I don't want to discount, you know, her. She does have that her family said they looked through her papers afterwards and kind of found like she had more stress than they knew about in her life and that she had maybe bottled it up. And so her husband and daughter are like, we just want to know what happened to her. Who is this blue truck? Other members of the family were more like, well, maybe your husband had something to do with it. There's zero evidence, not even close to a shred of evidence that the husband had anything to do with it. You know, he's at work. He's totally separate. Who is in this blue truck? You know, so that's obviously somebody you want to rule out early on. But I think probably a more interesting and lead that you should check would be the second person from the same job went missing without a trace.
Yeah.
What?
I don't think it's a coincidence. In California on June 22nd, Monica Reza, age 60, vanished while hiking near Mount Waterman in the Angeles National Forest with people from her yoga group. A companion saw her wave and smile, but then she was gone. No body or other trace has been found. The case was transferred to the LA County Sheriff's Homicide Bureau's Missing Persons Unit and remains under investigation.
Yeah, she was with two people, a male and female friend, companions from her yoga group. She was studying like yoga that had to do with Vedic and astrology connections and things. But her last known coordinates were, you know, not super far from the road or highway, but were on this steep terrain there. You should not run or jog. And supposedly she was either she decided to run or her male companion was like, you should go run. And she was like, okay, I don't know. They said they're about 30 feet away or so that she waves and then they go and then they turn back around and that she's totally vanished. Like no trace. And they only found like a hat. I'm not sure if the cops found a hat or her friends found a hat, but that her scent trail ceased like less than a mile away where this hat was found. There's no blood trail. There's no bones. You know, I'm all for Occam's razor and be like, there's probably mountain lions and coyotes and shit.
Or she fell off and
fell
down the side of a mountain.
Well, this was June 22nd, 2025. Yeah. They have been searching consistently, and people from the area have spoken to journalists and law enforcement have been like, you know, we would have been able to find her by now.
I think
you know,
so too, yeah.
At some point, you're going to find the bones, the blood, whatever. But the fact that her last known coordinates were not far from a highway and her hat was found and a scent sort of stopped with that is like strange.
Was she picked up? Yeah.
Was she picked up?
Was she picked up? 1 month later, on July 22nd, Joshua LeBlanc, a 29-year-old NASA nuclear propulsion engineer, died when his Tesla crashed and burned near Huntsville. His family had reported him missing hours earlier. He had left his phone, wallet, and dog at home. Tesla Sentry mode data showed the car sat stationary at the Huntsville airport for about 4 hours before the crash. His body was burned beyond identification. The Alabama Department of Forensic Sciences confirmed his identity 3 days later. Alabama law enforcement ruled it a vehicle crash with no foul play.
They can remote control a Tesla and keep the doors locked so you can't get out.
They sure can. Also, if the body is burned beyond identification, it's not necessarily his body that was burned.
Well, that's what the Alabama Department of Forensic Scientists had to use DNA and dental testing.
But what if they're lying?
I mean, also that. If
they take him because they're like, we need him too. We need everybody that's been working on this. We need all hands on deck. So they just
stick a body in the car.
Yeah, we're nothing to them. So we're just, you know, everybody's expendable.
I hadn't even thought of that because why was it sitting stationary at the airport for 4 hours?
Yeah.
So he could get out and get into an airplane?
Yeah, yeah.
And they could put someone else in it to blow it
and
up.
Who sits in their car at the airport for 4 hours and no, then
they're not going anywhere?
It just explodes?
Huh.
Yeah.
Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
Lots of places can accidentally expose you to identity theft. Doctor's offices, online retailers, insurance companies, the list goes on. Thankfully, LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. LifeLock keeps an eye on your personal information, credit applications, finances, and more. And if they find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, they alert you right away. All through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Even better, alerts are automatically activated the moment you become a LifeLock member. No extra work on your part. Get the alerts that could make all the difference. Don't wait. Join LifeLock now. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Whether and to what extent these scientists were eliminated for what they knew, abducted to extract information, or went missing or died due to stated causes, remains to be definitively proven. But after summer 2025, more scientists would succumb to suspicious fates, just in time for the White House to announce its planned release of files pertaining to UAPs. So what do we think?
We can't rule out what I do think would probably be Occam's razor, which is a foreign adversary going in and snatching and killing all these scientists. Whether you take them, you hold them, give them scopolamine and get all the information you can out of them, hold them down, get all the information. I hope that's not what's going on, but you know, that's a horrible fate. And or, you know, you have the data from somebody's computer, so you just kill them because you don't need them anymore. Mm-hmm. I feel like foreign adversary is most likely. Our own government, probably second most likely, you know, aliens or whatever, third. But that seems that it's, we brag all the time on TV, you know, by we, I mean our corrupt ass government being like, we killed three nuclear physicists from Iran, LOL. We blew up the MIT of Iran. So, yeah. Like, it's killing people, killing another country scientist is an extremely effective weapon of war. Like, yes. You know what I mean? To go, look, that's the guy that knows. Well, guess what? He's fucking dead now. Or guess what? He's in a cage in our lab now, and we just zap him when we want information from him. Mm-hmm. So, you know, folks that are like going, oh, it's just all viral. Listen, every single one of these guys, perhaps the guy that died by, you know, from alcohol, potentially alcohol related natural causes, you know, perhaps has nothing to do with it or whatever, you know, still timing wise, you know, sort of lines up. But especially given you could give somebody something that gives them a heart attack.
Yeah.
All to say.
Potassium will do a lot of
potassium
stuff.
Potassium has a very short half-life in the body. And like, that's, do it and don't do it. But like, if you needed to stop a heart, right? So I don't know. I do think there's some underlying connection. Just get, and also don't discount like, well, these guys worked on space stuff and these guys worked on anti-gravity propulsion and these guys worked on plasma. They're all different. No dipshit. That's like being like, this guy works in a kitchen and he runs the grill and she runs the microwave. And that one over there is the one washing dishes. They are all vital. And they're mm-hmm. all just doing different parts of this, of a larger project that I have a hypothesis of what it is, which I believe is some type of a vessel or object that is used to move data, humans, intelligence of some kind through space time. And by that, mm-hmm. I mean like sort of ripping portal holes, like some, again, my feeble understanding of physics, but these are components of what I believe you would need in order to accomplish that. So, I mean,
like what the Hadron Collider, who, I mean, if gun to my head, I'd be like, I can tell you like three things about that because it's, I've watched so many videos and I still don't understand what it's doing. But I did find out today that it is colder than space. So it is whatever they're doing in there, mashing atoms together and shit and all that. Theoretically, it could travel through space-time because it is colder than space.
Bring a jacket, baby. We're getting chilly in the Hadron Collider.
That like, thing is... If you are a smart person that knows about CERN, will you just send an email that's describe it like I'm five? Something really broken down.
If you don't mind, would you do it as a voice note to us? And that way, yes. You know what I mean? We could listen to it and potentially play it for others.
Yeah.
That would be helpful if you're willing to explain it. We could keep you anonymous. Yeah, whatever they're doing there, I think is also part of it. So it's just... all of these seemingly disparate fields that I think are more connected than we understand. And mm-hmm. listen, people die. Scientists die. People die by suicide, sadly. Scientists die by suicide. Mathematicians have very high rates, you know, historically of having issues with like delusion or loss of grip on reality because the shit they work with, theoretical stuff, breaks your brain sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes you're so smart, it's... a curse.
Yeah, it's a burden, right? You feel like nobody can understand you. You probably mm-hmm. do feel super isolated. But I think that in these cases, just like literally one of them's like, I would not shoot myself in the head.
Yeah.
3 weeks later.
Yeah. Yeah. And others too. Others too that have gone missing have said like, I am of sound mind and body. Mm-hmm. I'm happy with my life. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and then they go missing a week later and... I don't know. It all seems connected. It all seems suspicious. I haven't fully locked down who I think is responsible. Mm-hmm. However, I do think that they are all connected.
Certainly. And I think part two will help bring more strands of thread to the table. But mm-hmm. in the interim, if there are a scientist, we're going to talk about people who were affected summer 2025 to present. So anybody from there. But if you think anything is connected or related, you have links you want to send us, go to sinisterhood.com/contact and click submit a main feed topic and, you know, just put missing scientists, whatever. And I'll grab the links and whatnot from there. That way they're all in one place. But I'm sure you all have been just as glued to the social media, TV, whatever, whoever's covering this. And I'm glad to see like more larger, more legitimate news outlets. You know, Breaking Points is kind of my go-to everyday news source. And they were talking about this, of course, not in a way that's like the aliens are snatching them, but just being like, these are demonstrable things we've known that, you know, scientists are targets. That is a true thing. And it's much like with the UAP or not, it's much like with the drone stuff when we first talked about off the coast of New Jersey, we both said from the beginning, the most likely explanation, it's China or Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
it's probably China, in fact, because they're so far technologically way beyond us. So yeah, I would not be surprised. Do they come in? Are they coming in snatching scientists? I don't know that they have as much. They don't have as much of a motivation because they already have the information.
Yeah.
My likely would be a third party who, I don't know, has already been proven to use microwave weapons, directed energy weapons on people who are the creators of the directed energy weapon, who have been our adversaries and who only until like the last 10 years, our government's been best friends with their dictator. Maybe that's who did it. I don't know.
Speaking about Russia.
Oh, perhaps. I don't know. I'm not saying it is, but that they're a more likely candidate, in my opinion, on account of they've been into the same woo-woo shit than we have, you know, ever since Roswell. They've been trying to, much like the United States, trying to work on telepathy, remote viewing, things that would give them the ultimate intelligence. Like, they don't want to read your emails. They want to read your thoughts that you don't even email. That's what
Our brains are the most powerful weapons anybody has.
Boom. And you're right. So that's why we all need to have a mind palace, a dojo that you can lock down and that people can't come in.
Yeah.
And don't keep your shit just on the edge of your mind. You got to keep your shit on lock. Keep your brain on lock.
Locked down.
Dude, lock it and pop, lock and drop it, as they say. So
put foil over your windows.
Yes. Yeah. You definitely need to put a foil bra situation. Definitely like a hat, mask, Batman mask. No, but
yeah,
we'll get there.
No, it is. It's fascinating in a terrifying way, and I think more strings, like you said, are going to be unraveled and also connected.
Mm-hmm.
Probably even before we record the next episodes.
I believe certainly.
A 15th went missing just yesterday or the day before.
Yeah, so they're adding to. That's why part one was actually supposed to end in December 2025, but then we started finding more information. So that's why even part one is longer than our normal episodes. Mm-hmm. So anyhow, we look forward to what y'all think. Tell us in the comments. Also, subscribe to our YouTube channel if you haven't done that, because you can see when we talk to each other. It's fun to listen, certainly. But you can also watch us on YouTube. We're at 12,000 subscribers, which is almost halfway to beating Twin Flames Universe. So
yeah,
we're still looking to that goal, but we'll have a
13 will be a good milestone too.
Hell yeah. And then 420,000. But we appreciate y'all. But yeah, send us all your stuff, because there's probably headlines we missed. There's a lot to get with this.
Yeah. Well, if you'd like our free episodes like this one, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see what we're up to next, or dive into over 1,000 hours of bonus content, like Judge Christie, where I rule on petty grievances you bring before the court. True Crime Headlines, where we break down the latest news and updates in true crime. Heather's Saves, where anything Heather has found late night scrolling could be discussed. And Am I the Asshole, Unpopular Opinions, and other subreddits that we feel require our input. There's a new True Crime Headlines out right now. We talk about Nicole Dadone and her sentencing of the One Taste cult, the Gilgo Beach Rex Heuermann case, and the arrest in the notorious Texas Killing Fields case.
Yeah, if you want to check those out, we have a free trial where you join for a week at any of the tiers, binge everything you want to binge, listen to, watch everything that's on there, check out the perks, cancel anytime before the trial is over without getting charged. But if you stick around, you do an annual membership, you get 1 month free, and you get so much when you stick around.
Ad-free episodes, monthly live stream Q&As, quarterly live streamed bonus content that we let you all pick, weekly audio bonus content, mini-sodes, merch discounts, and a community of the best listeners on the whole internet.
We really do have the best listeners on the whole internet, because we can just like start the stream and just like immediately start.
The way I was sobbing uncontrollably.
Because we're all back together, baby. Well, anyway.
I'd also had a breakdown just minutes before we were supposed to start streaming. So I appreciate everybody's patience.
Oh, what a time we've had. Thank you. You are the community, the best listeners on the whole
internet. You really are.
Because everyone said, hard relate. Everyone's like, you're exactly how I feel right now. It was like, yeah, just.
It's a lot.
Vibing.
It's like
vibing.
Drinking from a fire hose.
Every single day. Well, head over to sinisterhood.com, click shop on the top banner to check out Sinisterhood merch like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos.
While you're on our website, you can also review the show. Thank you so much for all the kind words and 5 stars. You can submit topics for cases you'd like us to cover, your odd but true tales for Freaky Friday, and whatever bizarre or hilarious video you want us to live react to during Sunday Scaries, our weekly live stream over on Patreon every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Central. It's totally free. You just enter your email. You get immediate access. We are off this Sunday for Mother's Day, but then we are back. And on sinisterhood.com, you'll find fun things like topic-based playlists and all the information for Crime Wave at Sea 2027.
Come join us at Crime Wave at Sea. I have my diary entries. I put them up on my Substack so you can just day by day, like what we did. And if you don't want to read me talking multiple paragraphs about RFID chips and soda cups, you can listen to me do it too. But it's a man, just it's been so much fun going back over that. I emailed our buddy Richard from Unexplained because I need to get his address. We talked about a book and he was like, oh, I can't wait for the next one. So it's going to feel like a big reunion if you went. We cannot wait to see all you guys again. Go to, it's our website, or you go to crimewaveatc.com/sinister. Follow us over on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Follow us over on TikTok and YouTube at Sinisterhood Podcast to watch clips from the episodes, live streams, and more. And subscribe to the channel. It's free and it helps us rub it in the face of Jeff and Shalaya. I'm a petty person that will never forget. So go to YouTube and smash that subscribe button. And if you are looking for a unique and personal gift for the Sinisterhood fan in your life, or you want to treat yourself to a pep talk, or you're looking for the perfect Mother's Day gift for the mama in your life, or treat yourself, mama, book a cameo now. We would love to create a customized video that can be immediately viewed and sent. Not only is it thoughtful and perfect, it's also on sale. It's on sale this week through Friday, so make sure you book it over on the website cameo.com/sinisterhood to get the best deal and get that Mother's Day deal before Friday. Where can people find you on the internet?
I'm on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
You can find me everywhere at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy. Everybody, thank you so much for supporting the show on Patreon. Here are your special Patreon shoutouts: Catherine Desi,
Molly Ellison,
Jackie,
Erica Connolly,
Roe Hughes,
Melissa Baer,
Lucy End,
Nikki Roberts,
Michelle Pulliam,
Cass Lynn,
Anna Berger,
Avery Holland,
Katie King McCracken,
Morgan
McInator,
Brittany Donati,
Clara Abdurazak,
Lexi C.,
Ariel Hodgins.
Thank you all so much for supporting the show. We really couldn't do this without you. We sincerely appreciate each and every one of you. We hope we pronounced your names correctly. Stay safe, stay healthy, and keep it creepy.
Sinister.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.